Good morning, church. It's good to see you today. I wanted us to start off with the earliest mention of love in the Bible. The first place that love is mentioned. And it's kind of interesting. You can go ahead and open your Bible to Genesis chapter 22. 22 chapters before love is mentioned in God's story. Genesis 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. You know, it's interesting that sometimes God gets a bad rap for this story. That people that aren't close to him or don't know him or just maybe questioning look at this story and say, how could God do such a thing? How could God ask Abraham to make such a sacrifice? And then, of course, we know how the story turns out. God spares Isaac. God spares the son. But what this story is doing, and there's so much in here, it is about the love that a father has for his son. About a three-day journey. It is about the realization that Abraham's faith lets him confess to his son and share the good news that God will provide the lamb. And then, of course, we on the other side of the resurrection of Jesus Christ know that God has provided for us a lamb. The sacrifice that he spared Abraham from making, God has made for us, not sparing his own son, but allowing him to die for our sins. Which, of course, is why we see in Scripture and we know in our hearts that this is the greatest love that has ever been shown. God loving you and I enough, not sparing his own son, but giving his life for you and me. Today we'll take a closer look at that love, and in song and in praise we will celebrate the love that God has for us. And hopefully in doing all of these things, God's love will not only flow into our hearts, but flow through us to the rest of the world. It's been God's plan all along. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in love. We come to you offering our hearts. And Father, we confess from the start that our love for you is not as it should be. We confess, Father, that we have been tempted with other things. We confess to you that our love is not as full as it should be. But Father, we come back to you again because you love us. Because your love for us is greater than any other love that we have ever known or that we will ever know. Father, we join our hearts in faith. We join our voices in song. We join our prayer together to your throne of love. You have called us out of this world. You have saved us from our sin. You have provided for us your only Son, our Lord and Savior. Father, we offer you all that we have. We ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that each and every day we will love more. We ask that you open our eyes each and every day to better understand your love, to be strengthened and humbled, to love our families better, our brothers and sisters in Christ better, and even our enemies better. Father, your love is amazing. And we want to experience it each and every day. And we want to share it with everyone that we meet along our way. Father, we all look forward to the day when our faith is made sight and we are united with you. We pray that you keep us in your love, so that we may rejoice at the coming of Jesus. We pray in his wonderful, holy name. Amen.
Good morning. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall his praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful grace, all sufficient for me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful grace, all sufficient for me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled. By its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity. And the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful grace, all sufficient for me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name. Please be seated. Let us adore the ever-living God and render praise unto him who spread out the heavens and established the earth, and whose glory is manifest throughout all the earth. He is our God. He is our God. There is no one else. He is our God. He is our God. There is no one else. I praise your name, most high and awesome God, and lift my hands unto you. You saved my soul on a rugged tree. Now I praise you and serve you, Lord, throughout eternity. You are my God. You are my God. There is no one else. You are my God. You are my God. There is no one else. You are my God. You are my God. There is no one else. You are my God. You are my God. There is no one else. There is no one else. From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a sure retreat. 'Tis found beneath the mercy seat. There is a place where Jesus sheds the whole of gladness. scene where spirits blend, where friend holds fellowship with friend, though sundered far by faith, they meet around one common mercy seat. Ah, there on eagle's wings we soar, and sin's molest no more, and heaven comes down our souls to greet, and glory crowns the mercy seat.
Morning, everyone. Scripture is Philippians chapter 1, 3 through 11. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always eat every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now, I am sure of this. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with the knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Pretty good verses. Would you join me in prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful day you have made. We thank you for assembling us here in your presence to worship you, to praise you, to hear your word as you mean it to be. You have given us so much, and it's our prayer that no matter where we find ourselves, that we find the comfort and the strength, the love and the joy that you have given to us freely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love, at the feet of Jesus, we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, breath of heaven. Deeper than the ocean and wider than the sea is the grace of the Savior for sinners like me. Sent from the Father, and it thrills my soul just to feel and to know that His blood makes me whole. His grace reaches me. Yes, His grace reaches me and will last through eternity. Now I'm under His control, and I'm happy in my soul, just to know that His grace reaches me. Higher than the mountains, and brighter than the sun, It was offered at Calvary for everyone. Greatest of treasures, and it's mine today. Though my sins were as scarlet, he has washed them away. His grace reaches me. Yes, his grace reaches me and will last through eternity. Now I'm under his control, and I'm happy in my soul, just to know that his grace reaches me.
All right. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read 1 through 7. Then we'll have the prayer for the bread. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any conscience of sin? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for that lamb that was offered to be that ultimate sacrifice, that final sacrifice, that one sacrifice that atoned for all of the sins of all creation, Lord. We thank you that you allow us to be a part of that. We thank you for this opportunity to take this flesh and remember what Christ did for each and every one of us, Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now we're gonna go back
one chapter to chapter 9, and then we'll go back to 10 again here in this one. I'm going to read 9, 11 through 14. In Hebrews chapter 9, 11 through 14, it says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And then I'm going to read chapter 10, verses 16 through 17. I'm going to actually read 15. "And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us after saying, or this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." And then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. We thank you for just forgetting all the things that we've done when we put him on in our baptism. We thank you for giving us that ability. We thank you for giving us that opportunity. We're forever indebted to you. And in our service, we try to repay that debt. In Jesus' name, amen. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light." That's what we get to be because of the blood of Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we'll go ahead and pray for the offering, our collection that we take. And I pray that when you give, that you're giving because you want to contribute, that you want to be able to do what you can for this body of work here, rather than an obligation. A gift is always received much better whenever it's given joyfully. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you again for this building. We thank you for this place that we can come together as a family and worship your name and learn about your word and have your word imprinted on our hearts, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity for us to give. And we pray, Lord, that you receive our offering and that you guide the hands that use it to use it wisely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Jesus rose for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus rose for all the children of the world. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in the world and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Oh, Jerry, I had this afternoon's lesson. I'm not sure what to do. It's good to see you today. I'm glad that you're here. Glad that you are here. All right, we're going to pray together, and then I'm going to make some of you really nervous really fast. So yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise your holy name, and our hearts are united in faith and hope in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we have put our faith in you for the salvation of our souls. We trust Jesus for our forgiveness. We trust you alone for our lives, for our eternity. And Father, we lift our voices, we lift our eyes, we lift our hearts, waiting for that day when Jesus will be revealed. Father, I pray until that day, you will increase our faith. I pray, Father, that we will walk with Jesus more and more. And this morning, as we take a look at the love that you have for us and the love that you call us to have for each other and for those around us, Father, we give you our hearts. Good and bad, all of them, all of it, everything we've allowed in there. And we pray that you purify us. We pray that you cleanse us. And we pray that there will be no room for anything but Jesus in us. In his holy name we pray. Amen. So I want everyone to think this morning about those close to you and what they are known for saying. Think about the people in your family. Think about your parents. What are they always telling you? Think about your husband, your wife. What are they constantly saying to you? Now, this could be a good thing. This could be a bad thing. Some are squirming. I'll go first. I hear a lot in my house. The trash is full again. That's one of those things that I hear in my house. I know if I would just take care of it a day earlier, I wouldn't have to hear that, but for some reason, that doesn't happen. And so I hear in my house a lot, the trash is full again. I'll tell on Sunny. Sunny hears a lot. Hey, what's for dinner? She hears that a lot. She hears that a lot. So I'm just curious, kids. What are your parents known for saying? What do they tell you a lot? What do you hear a lot from your parents? What do they have to tell you over and over again? What do they say? We need what?
Love our mommy and daddy.
We need to love our mommy and daddy. That is true. Aww. Thank you, Hallie. That was good. That was good. Evan, what do you hear a lot? Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Right? Have you washed your hands? Yes. Yeah. Did you brush your teeth? Yes.
That one has to be followed up with tonight.
Yeah. Tonight, yes. Yeah. So what are your parents known for saying? A lot. Anything else?
My mother always said, clean your room.
Clean your room. Clean your room. Yeah, there's... There is... I guess I'll open it up to the adults. Anybody brave enough to share? What do you hear a lot from the people around you? What? Wah? Wah. Chester, you need to work on that. She meant the baby. She meant the baby. We do. The people that are closest to us hear really just our theme song over and over, don't they? They do. We do. We tend to repeat ourselves. I'm not the only one that's guilty of it. I know I repeat myself a lot. I repeat myself because in my mind, what I am saying to you is so very important, there's not a number of times that are too many to hear it, right? I want to make sure that everyone hears it and understands it and knows exactly what I'm thinking. And we've been married 26. We've been married 26 years. And we've got a wonderful system now. Sunny just has to show me her hand to let me know that I've already said that 3 times, and number 4 is not necessary. She heard me. It took 26 years, and I finally recognized the hand of, oh, have I said that in the past 10 minutes? But we do. We repeat ourselves when things are important to us. And so it's amazing to me. And I want us to take a look over in John chapter 13. Because I've never held Jesus to the same standard as I hold myself. I just always assumed, because, you know, a lot of times if you want to find what God says about a certain subject, you hit that concordance and you find the 14 verses where it says in the Bible that you should do this, right? Yeah. And, you know, you've heard lessons like that. God says to do this here, God says to do this here, God says to do this here, so we should really do that. And I've always held God to the standard was, when God just needs to say it here once, and it's probably pretty important. And so in John chapter 13, when Jesus actually repeats himself, it hits me like shockwaves. When something is so important to our Lord and Savior to say something over and over again in such a short span, that it really just gets my attention and helps me realize that he is serious, that this is important, and it is something that I need to be paying attention to. In John chapter 13, you know the story. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. He gets them all in the room together, and he does what a servant does. He takes off their sandals, he gets the towel, he gets the bowl of water, and he washes all of their feet. And then when he is done serving them in such a humble and intimate fashion, he lets them know, I am giving you an example. And so Jesus does for his followers, and then he calls his followers to do the same thing. Really helps in our lives of faith and listening to God and being faithful to God and trusting God and following God and obeying God to know how much he has done for us first. Because no one that knows God can honestly say, well, I'm not going to do those things for God because what has God done for me? We know what God has done for us. We know what God has done for us, so he could call us to anything, and it would be okay. It would be okay. John chapter 13, I want to read from 31. John 13:31 says, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. And God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love others with the same love that Jesus shows to us. You want to be known as a follower of Jesus, then you love others in the same way that Jesus loves. What do we point to? What is our badge? What is our ID card to say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Jesus says it's our love. He says it's our love. If we want to be identified with Jesus, then we love. Now, in verse 34, he says, this is a command. I give you a command. I'm not saying, hey, you know, if you get around to it, you should probably try to love other people. Or, you know, if you're not too busy, you should probably work on that love thing. Or, you know, I mean, if you want to be really good, or you want to be a super Christian or an excellent disciple, then you should love. That's not what he says. He says, I give you a command. I am telling you what to do. Love. Command. Love. Then, just go over two chapters. In John chapter 15, two more times. John 15 verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friend, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Two more times, Jesus says, here's my command. This is what I tell you to do. Love one another. So in this short span, Jesus has repeated himself, and he says, this is important. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And because I have chosen you, you need to do what I say. You know, it's when we think about being told to love, we come up with excuses, don't we? We want to bring into things or bring things into the equation like how we've been treated. Or if they deserve. Did Jesus say anything about deserve? Did Jesus ask how we were feeling before this command? Did he ask our opinion on this command? Did he equate this as a suggestion? No, he gives us a command. He gives us a command. I read those words and I hear him say, in verse 16, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. You know, one of the worst things that a child can say to a parent, well, from a parent's standpoint, you may have heard it, I hope you haven't, from your own. But every once in a while, a child that doesn't want to obey the commands will say something to the effect of, to their parents of, I didn't ask to be born. I had no say in that choice. You made that choice. Now, what's interesting is in a child's mind, that somehow frees them from obligation of obeying commands, right? That's what they're trying to do. You put me in an untenable situation. I didn't ask to be here, and I want to be free of it. Well, Jesus says, you didn't choose me. So guess who has the power here? I chose you. And since I chose you, obey my command. Church, the sad thing is, unfortunately, as you and I find ourselves much like that teenager that says, well, I don't want to obey that command. I mean, you tell me to do good and keep myself unstained from the world. You tell me the things to avoid. I'll do that. You tell me where and when to go, and I'll do that for the most part. You tell me what not to see, what not to say, what not to do. But you're going after my heart here. I mean, that should be free, shouldn't it? I mean, my heart is mine. Who I choose to love should be my choice. Doesn't sound like Jesus is offering choices today, does it? He's not. He's giving commands. He's not giving us an option. He's not saying A, B, C, or D, multiple choice. He says, here's my command. Love each other. Well, Lord, I'll be recognizable as a Christian because of the scriptures or the picture on my t-shirt or the decorations in my home or on my car. I'll be recognized as a Christian by the looks that I give my coworkers when they talk about less than desirable things. I'll be known as your follower by the one with the loudest tisk, tisk in my circle of friends. Isn't it funny all the ways that we choose to be recognized as a follower of Jesus? And Jesus says, here's my command. It's real simple. Love. That's how they'll know. That's how they'll know. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul gives us, and you know this, which is why it's so fantastic. 1 Corinthians 13 gives us such a wonderful, beautiful example and description of love. And, of course, gives us the importance of it. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 comes right in the middle of this letter, and Paul's been talking about things like spiritual gifts. Paul's been talking about things about unity within the body. And he's really, you know, again, sometimes church struggles with this, that God doesn't call us to uniformity. He calls us to unity. There's a difference. There's a big difference. And so he uses the analogy of the body, right? He says, hey, you're not all the same. Your foot doesn't look like your hand, has a different job. Your ear doesn't look like your eye, has a different job. But they're all necessary, right? Exactly. So after giving this, he goes into chapter 13. And he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but if I don't have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. So the Apostle Paul says to the church here, look, any service that you may render, or any spiritual gift that you may be blessed with, or any manifestation of the presence of God in your life. Any of that can be possible and present, but if it is not accompanied with love, it is empty. It is empty. It means nothing. It won't get you anything. Church, everything that Paul describes here, everything again that, you know, marks of a Christian, those things that we would look at, those things that we define spiritual experience or the faith of a person or the faith of a church, of a body, those things that we may look for. Prophetic utterances, speaking in tongues, understanding and having all knowledge of what God has revealed. Faith that will not waver, that is so strong. Or even mercies or Christian service, giving away everything. Or even the greatest sacrifice that we could have by becoming a martyr for the sake of Christ. We could do all of those things, and if we don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. So as followers of Jesus, it seems that if we have love, we'll have everything. If we love, we'll have everything. Because that is everything. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things, and it endures all things. Well, Michael, I know how to love. I know how to love. When people treat me right, I treat them right just the same. When people are nice to me, I am the nicest person you'll ever meet. I will not only give people one strike, I'll give them two. I got this love thing. Anybody got a list? You know, a list of the people in your life that, that whole love thing, they're exempt from. Anybody playing Santa Claus? You got your own nice and naughty list? Once people get on your naughty list, oh, I'm done with them. They don't deserve, oh, there's that word again. They don't deserve my love. Hey, let me ask you a question. When that kid was born, had they done anything to deserve your love? Had they? I mean, they came out. Have they done anything to deserve love? No. No. But we start keeping score, don't we? We come to God claiming the blood of Christ, forgiving us of our sins, washing us and making us whole, claiming a righteousness of Jesus and not our own. And yet we turn around and we keep score. Do we not? We decide who deserves our love. Jesus, thank you for your mercy and grace. Because I got some people this week that I really need to spend a lot of energy withholding said mercy and grace. I've got a lot of people on my list. A lot of people that get on my nerves. A lot of people that have just worn me thin. A lot of people that have hurt my feelings, that have done me wrong, that have done bad things to me. So Lord, fill me with your mercy and grace so I can go out and be a good... be a good whatever. See, love is patient. And love is kind. Love doesn't envy or boast. Love doesn't go around saying, "Whew, I'm better than all these people." Did Jesus go around saying, "I'm better than all these people"? God's own Son, the only one without sin, washed their feet. How many other feet did he wash? All of them. All of them stay faithful. All of them end up being on his side. Love's not arrogant or rude. Love's not arrogant or rude. Love doesn't insist on its own way. I mean, what does he expect of us? Doesn't even insist on our own way? Love's not irritable. What? Now I can't even get annoyed? That's like my go-to. Just being irritable. Resentful? Well, I have to be resentful. They've hurt me. They weren't nice to me. They've treated me wrong. I have to resent them. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Love never ends. For prophecies, they'll pass away. Anyone that says anything that's going to happen in the future, guess what? It's coming and it'll happen. It'll be done. There will come a time where there will be nothing else to say about days ahead of us. It's going to be over. So that can't be the best thing. That can't be the most important thing, right? As for tongues, well, they will cease. I mean, Paul's already mentioned, spoken the tongues of men and of angels. We've got the spiritual gift going on all throughout Scripture. He says those, I mean, it's kind of cool, but there's coming a day it won't be necessary. Everyone will hear and everyone will speak and everyone will understand. Knowledge. Ooh, all that great Bible study that you and I have committed years of our lives to. In the end, I mean, I won't even ask you to raise your hand, but anyone think that when they get to see Jesus that they're going to say, Lord, back in Malachi 2, I had a question. I wasn't sure. You know, because some people say that this verse should be interpreted this, and some people. As for knowledge, it'll pass away. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. No, we don't know everything yet. We can't. So that must not be the biggest thing. When the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a kid, I spoke like a kid. I thought like a kid. I reasoned like a kid. When I grew up, well, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. The Apostle Paul lets us know in no uncertain terms that love is not a feeling or a sentiment. Love is not an emotion. Love is not a Valentine's Day card. Love is a sacrificing of oneself for others. Love is a dying on the cross for the sins of the world. Love is treating your own spouse as your own flesh. Love is being willing to do things for your kids and with your kids over and over and over. Love is forgiving those who have hurt you. Love is allowing others to have their own way. Love is wanting others to find love and doing whatever you can to help them. That's love. Kevin read for us from Philippians chapter 1. And in Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, I am praying in Philippians 1:9 that your love may abound more and more. See, church, it's not enough for us to love. We have to love more and more. We don't get to say, oh yeah, love, I tried that once. No, Paul says, I am praying that your love, the love that you have for everyone around you, will grow and grow and grow. Now, this will be fun. Show of hands, who's been a follower of Jesus more than 10 years? Keep it up if it's more than 20. More than 30. More than 40. More than, somewhere in there. More than 50. More than 60. More than 70. Oh, we get everybody? More than 70? Yeah, I didn't see Dale's hand. Does he still have it up? You do realize that the more years we are following Jesus, the better at love we should be. You know, that's the amazing thing about Christianity, is it keeps us just from growing into a bunch of old, grouchy people. We don't get to do that. No, the more we follow Jesus, the more we abound in love. That's what we get to do. That's what we get to do. It's not a, oh, well, you know, I'm young and fresh and I have the energy for it, so I'm going to love everyone around me. No. I've been allowed this life, this many years in walking with Jesus, and I know how much He loves me, so I get to love others more and more and more. I get to abound in love. Abound in love. Our love is guided by, and He says here, our love is guided with knowledge and all discernment. You know, we spend a lot of our energy when it comes to knowledge and discernment. We try to figure out other people and their motives. Right? I mean, that's where our energy goes. I'm trying to figure out this person. Should this person be trusted? Is this person lovable? How's this person's track record? I'm pretty sure that's not what Paul's talking about. When he calls us to love more and more and more, is getting to know the sins of others. Pretty sure that's not what he's calling me to. I'm pretty sure he's calling me to knowledge and understanding more of God and His love for me so that my love for others may abound more and more and more. You met a few people in your life? Most of them are unlovable, aren't they? Oh, it's okay. Yeah, most of us are. At our finest moments, most of us are unlovable. And even not our finest moments, most of us are unlovable. So I'm pretty sure that our knowledge and discernment is not supposed to be of other people. Our knowledge and discernment is supposed to grow of God. We stay so focused on our Lord and Savior, on the perfect. And everybody else around us just gets to enjoy the love that we have for Him. Isn't that amazing? That's world changing. That's eternal kingdom stuff. That is worth carrying beyond my life into always. If it's just another thing that we've created for ourselves, another form of, well, you know, I'm going to love these people and not love these people, be good to these people and not be good to those people, that's normal. That's normal. God's called us to His kingdom. He's called us to love more and more. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. I want to wrap it up with this one. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 11. 1 John 3, 11 says, "This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. So don't be surprised, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. Okay. Love each other. Don't be shocked when the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers and sisters. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. It's not enough to talk about love. This message and this truth that Jesus has given us will not be seen this morning. It'll be seen on Tuesday. It'll be seen on Thursday. It'll be seen this week when we're not talking about love, when we're just living lives of love. Love has to be seen in our actions. Jesus showed us love. He laid down his life. God gave us everything. God gave us everything. And he says, if you want eternal life abiding, living with you, if you want to walk in that light, then love. Then love. Anybody sitting here this morning and just thinking of, why not? Why not? I mean, do you have the face of that person this week that you go, oh, not them? Do you have the situation already in mind? You're like, oh, this is just going to be a struggle this week. Or is God putting on your heart, here's where you need to love? Here's where you need to love. We're done talking about it. So now we get to do it. Now we get to do it. God showed his own love for us, and that he sent his only son to die for our sins. And not our sins only, for the sins of the world. And love says that we want others to know that as well. Love says that we actually care that other people experience what we have been given. And that directs our steps this week. That is our charge. That is the command of Jesus Christ. Love. So, if you need to respond to his love this morning, we invite you to come.
Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount abhorred, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace. is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You are longing to see His face. Will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Please be seated.
Glad each of you are here. It's always a blessing to be with our family. I was reading in Ephesians this week, and have you ever had a moment that you didn't feel worthy? Or maybe a day, or maybe a period in your life that you didn't feel worthy? Are any of us worthy? No. God didn't say, I'll give you grace and mercy if you're worthy. He gave it to us in spite of us being worthy. In Ephesians it says, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Sometimes we get to thinking that we are good. We're not good. The good that we do is Christ in us. Even Christ wouldn't say that He was good. We're glad you're here. We live our lives apart from our family, our church family, don't we? Out there in the world. And we need to show that love that we were talking about this morning. Cassie Bland has two cousins that were hit by a drunk driver. I'm immersed in the world each almost every day because I drive people around. And some of them have had too much drinking, and it's ugly. The world we live in is ugly, and we've got to bring Christ to those that we can, because Christ is not in the world. The devil is in the world. Her cousins were EC from Odessa and Porter from Lubbock. They're in ICU. They're having surgeries. They're having a hard time. Jerry's taking a motorcycle trip this week. Where are you going?
I'm going all the way to Smoky Mountain, North Carolina, Tennessee area.
I had a cycle years ago. I put 18,000 miles on it and never went anywhere except out in the country where it was safer to drive. I had a blood test this week, and it came back elevated, PSA, and I don't have a prostate anymore, so I don't know how the PSA is going up, but it went up. So I'm going to the doctor tomorrow and see what's up. Let's pray. Father, help us to be humble in living the Christian life. Help us to know that the good that we do is Christ living in us and not of ourselves. We are not worthy of your grace and mercy and the many wonderful blessings that you give us. We are eternally thankful for what you do for us. The blessings of this life, we are not cold, we are not hot, we have clothes, we have plenty of food, but especially the spiritual blessings that you give us, and that's the ones that we're really thankful for. We don't have any needs. You've taken care of all of our needs and a lot of our wants. Help us, Father, to think about heavenly things and not earthly things. Help us to go out of our way, which it usually is, to show love for others. And a lot of those people are unkind and unlovable sometimes, but that's not our choice. We are to love and to love everyone, especially our enemies. Father, we thank you for the Christian life that we are allowed to live. We're so thankful that we know you. You know everyone, but not everyone knows you. We have been so blessed to be introduced to you and to live the Christian life, which is a wonderful life to be living. We are blessed more than anyone else. Help us to share our faith. Help us to share our love. Father, be with EC and Porter. Help them to get well and help the doctors to do the right things for them. Be with Jerry and keep him safe. Riding a cycle is dangerous because people don't look for cycles. Father, we need rain, as you know, and we implore you to send rain our way to replenish the earth and to nourish the earth. Father, be with me and help everything to be okay, and if it's not, that's okay too. Help us, Father, to think about things that are important to you, not important to us. Help us show kindness and love, forgiveness. Help us to be examples that you want us to be. Help us to let Christ live in our lives. Forgive us, guide us. Help us have more of the Holy Spirit so that we can understand more of your word, so that we can be led in this life on this earth. We thank you for always taking care of us and always having our best interest in heart. You love us more than we can imagine, and we are so thankful. We thank you for our home in heaven that we have to look forward to. Help us to be homesick. We are aliens in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.